Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I'm going to change things up a bit this morning because I have a message that's, I think, fairly unique just to our little church here at Concordia. The reading I'm going to take today came from James, James 2, verse 14. And it reads this: what good is it? What good is it if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now, what I don't want you to walk out of here with is an opinion of James. James did not believe we earn forgiveness of sins and grace by good works. Neither did he believe we're born through our works. What he's trying to do is criticize lazy, idle, and those minds that are secure, who imagine that they have faith, although they do not. Now, James asks a very hard question here to deal with. What does it matter if we have good intentions but never act on them? The word of God is to be embraced in action, not in contemplation. Faith that remains only as talk is not faith. Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote one of my favorite passages. He says, "What you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you say." I sometimes fear that we have become a church of talk. We have become part of this society in America that is totally dedicated to radical non-involvement. We discuss, we analyze, we debate, but what kind of Christians are we becoming if our faith never moves beyond words? Now, I understand this, and it's fair, and I'll take this. Dennis, come on. We try very hard, we do good, we work hard, we give money, we do all these things. It's kind of like it's exactly what James is talking about good works. And here I'm here to tell you that may be true. But is it possible that what we are calling good works and what the Lord calls good works are not the same thing? To the eyes of the world, many of the things that we do are good, or use the term very noble, what we do. But Scripture reminds us in 1 Samuel, man looks upon outward experiences, but the Lord looks at your heart. For a work to be truly good in the eyes of God, it must conform to His will, not your will. It has to proceed from faith. Remember this, and this is in Romans, and you can look it up. Romans 14 says, whatever does not proceed from faith is nothing but a sin. And everything must flow from love, because that's how we fulfill the law. Many years ago, I had a chance to work in Jeff City, and at those times, we would often have listening groups. That's I think we called them that. And pastors would come in, and church leaders, and they would all come in, and we'd sit in a wonderful conference room, great coffee, and we would lament. And we'd talk about the devastation of drugs, the breakdown of the family, the persistent attacks of Satan upon our home, and we'd all have a great discussion, and then we would do nothing. Nothing. To you that sit here, you all have, each person has a variety of reasons to be here. Some like to come for the liturgy. Does that make you happy? Or they come for fellowship. We like to be together. We like to visit. And some people come for a message. But in the end, there has to be more to this. What we offer as information perhaps might last a scant hour, maybe, on your way home. But what we learn must become a part and entangle itself in our entire lives. And that's the message of the day. We have to be in the business of helping each other create a vision for our entire life. We've got to work on helping each other take our message and take it from Sunday to at least Monday. We have to work on facilitating the efforts of others. Today, in organized religion, you can hear much about this on the radio, including our Lutheran church. We speak about entrepreneurship, and that's an interesting word. My friend, Pastor Kettner in Salem, used this word last week because it means the doer. And his lament was, we got to do more. We have to do something. We got to stop this talk and do something. Well, that reminds me of a great story. I love this story. It's not very well known, but it's in the book of Judges, around chapter 4. And there you meet a woman by the name of Deborah. And she was a judge, well, and not a legal judge, but she was a leader of the Israelites. Well, this occurred in or around 1200 B.C., to kind of orientate you what I'm talking about. Well, at that time, Israel was suffering under the oppression of a Canaanite king by the name of Jabin. Well, Jabin had the meanest general known to man, and his name was Sisera. Sisera, the feared general Sisera. He commanded a terrifying force of over 900 steel chariots that terrorized everyone, except for Deborah. Deborah was not terrorized. She said, I got an idea. We're going to lure this guy out. We're going to attack him and destroy his army. She said, now, to her general Barak, she said, Barak, I want you to get your people together. We're going to go to Mount Tabor. We're going to go down that mountain and attack Sisera. And Barak looked her right in the eye and said, no way. I'm not going to do this. It's a good way to get killed. She said, all right, I'm going to tell you something. You go sit down. Give me that army, and I'll go. I'll lead it. I'll attack them. Well, Barak then was a little bit humiliated because he didn't want to give up his position of power. And he said, all right, I'll make a deal with you. If you go, I'll go with you, Deborah. Well, they went. And Sisera marched his army right up the Jezreel Valley, right where the Kishon River runs. But he did not know one thing. The river had just flooded. It had covered the ground and soaked it. Those steel chariots charged up the valley and immediately got hung up in the mud, and they could not move. And that's when Deborah, and this is the phrase in the Bible I really love. Deborah says, get up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into our hands. Does not the Lord go out before you? And she said, do it, do it. And he did. And they destroyed the army. And that is the question before us today. Does not the Lord, doesn't he go out in front of you, before you every day? Are we truly incapable, or do we not have the ability of doing meaningful work on behalf of God's people? Do we not have the good, great, beneficial ideas for our people? One of the stories I was talking to Kim about was I was trying to figure out who came up with the idea in Cuba to take Highway 19 and refurbish it, fill the ditches in, pick up the trash, cut the grass, plant flowers, plant. Who did it? We could not remember. And I love that. There were so many great ideas we couldn't remember where they were coming from. That one idea, that one single little comment in Mesa's food store actually became a state model for Adopt a Highway for communities throughout the state. One little idea from someone we can't remember. And that's the benefit we can have when I was at Salem as a vicar, as an intern with Pastor Kettner, great guy. At lunchtime, everyone left the church and I was left to walk around the cemetery which joined Salem's church. And I just would stroll through there, looking at the tombstones and the decorations. And then one day it dawned on me, looking at those graves, how many great ideas, how many books, how many hymns, how many poems, how many benefits are buried in those coffins that never, ever saw daylight? Because no one was willing to help or to facilitate an idea to help others. And that is part of the message. So I urge you to do the work of the Lord. Do the work he put on your heart. And maybe sometime you'll hear that voice from thousands of years ago that says, up, get up, Does not the Lord go before you? Do it. Do it today. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.